All right, so I don't usually have an interactive sermon, and the only interactive part is this first question. So, but I would like to hear some responses. What two things do you think the world is in most need of right now? Say it again. Love and peace. Okay, what else? Hope. Yes. Okay, something else? Faith. Okay, so I left that part of the verse up for a reason, because we are going to talk today about hope and joy. Hope and joy. And the world is feeling like there is no hope, or they're placing their hope into things that really they should not be putting their hope in. And because they're feeling that there's no hope, then of course they're not having joy. So we're going to look at some things we should not place our hope and joy in, and then some things that we should place our hope and joy in. All right. Excuse me just a second. Being in the sound room, I wasn't able to get my halls, and with my allergies, I clear my throat way too much and don't want to do that on the microphone for all of you. Okay, so if you're watching TV, Netflix, Hulu, whatever you're watching, everything now is about Santa, right? As if our hope was in Santa. And I'm talking adult movies as well, okay? And, you know, it's fun. It is. And we know that, you know, a certain person that goes to church here likes Elf and has Elf on the shelf and would dress as Elf if he could. Hey. But our hope and joy can't be in Elf or Santa. Here comes Santa Claus. Here comes Santa Claus. Right down Santa Claus Lane. He's got a bag that's filled with toys for boys and girls again. Who remembers that song from their childhood? There was actually a television show, and that was the song at the beginning, and we went down Santa Claus Lane, and there was somebody dressed up as Santa Claus. What did he do? He read letters or something, I believe. So hope can't be in Santa. It's fun, but hope and joy can't be in it. How about presents? If I just get, you know, sometimes we as adults are as bad as the kids. You know, if my wife just got me, or my husband just got me, or if we saved up enough that I could get. And so Christmas becomes about getting a present. Santa baby, hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa baby, an outer space convertible, light blue. I will wait up for you. Come and trim my Christmas tree with some decorations bought at Tiffany's. I really do believe in you. So it's not in presents. It's not in Santa. How about a white Christmas? We hear all these songs about, you know, if we just had a white Christmas. To be honest, I'm snowed out at 63. I wouldn't care if I never had another white Christmas. But, you know, don't shoot me, because I do watch the White Christmas movie. Oh, the weather outside is frightful. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. And I'm saying, no, no, no. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know. And so the world, and again, sometimes some of us, we picture this magical, almost perfect Christmas. And what if our Christmas doesn't measure up to that? Because these songs are talking about, you know, I'll be home for Christmas, and we're going to have this wonderful time. Well, why does that have to be limited to Christmas Day, right? And if things don't work out, then was all your hope and joy in whether or not you had a perfect Christmas? So it can't be in Santa, can't be in presents, can't be about a white Christmas. So if that's all true, okay, you just blew away 90% of what the world puts their hope and joy in this time of year. Just listen to the Christmas carols on the radio. But thanks to Linus, my mic just went off. Are you okay? I wasn't hearing myself for a minute. Everybody good? So thanks to Linus in the Charlie Brown Christmas, a lot of the world actually heard the Christmas story that we already knew. Luke 2. Luke chapter 2. Let everybody open up their phone app and get their Bibles out. And you probably have this memorized, or a lot of it, because through the years you have heard it. Now in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own hometown. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, in order to register with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. And she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there was some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shown around them. Can you just pause a minute and picture that? You're out in the field with a bunch of sheep and it's dark and an angel shows up and the angel is glowing, but then the glory of God comes in that whole area. And I don't know, I might have the same response. And they were terribly frightened. I at least would have bowed down. And the angel probably would have said, get up, what are you bowing for? But you know, you don't expect to see an angel when you're out in the field watching sheep. And the angel said, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news. Good news. What does the world need now? Good news. Every day there's another piece of bad news. They need good news. What do we need? We need good news. That will bring a little bit of joy to people. No, Marty, you're correcting the pastor right in the middle of his message? Oh my goodness. Good news of a great joy. Come on. If they need hope and joy, here it is. Great joy, which will be for people who go to church. Now you're disagreeing with me. Oh my goodness, you're a rambunctious bunch this morning. Which is for all people. See, that good news and great joy was for everybody out there, not just for us in here. And why is it good news? And why does it bring great joy? For today in the city of David, there's been born for you a Savior. Come on. That is where they get their hope from. Not from Santa, not from presents, not from an idealistic Christmas, but from Savior, who is Christ the Lord. For this will be a sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Now, like, the scene wasn't wild enough, right? And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. Come on. That's good news. Okay, other than Frank and Marty and Sharon, that's good news. Thank you, church. Best news ever. Whoop, whoop, as Pastor Kurt would say. Yes, and he misses everybody he's in with Trish this morning. Our joy and our hopes should not and cannot be placed in anything or anyone other than Jesus. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Come on. Not just by His birth, but by recognizing who He is. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. What we just read, the heavenly host. Join the triumph of the skies with angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time, behold, He come. Well, it was late, it seemed like for some, but Marty, He came just at the appointed time. Marty reminded us of that this morning during early morning prayer. Offspring of a virgin's womb, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Come on. Hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all He brings, risen with healing in His wings. Healing, Lord. Mild He lays His glory by, left His throne and came down. Born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. It's so easy and natural for us to say, boy, if that thing would just happen, then I'd be happy. Or if that thing just didn't happen, then I wouldn't be discouraged. That's natural for us, isn't it? But that's allowing things and people to take away or determine our joy. And I agree that it is sometimes a struggle to look past the present, to look past this mess that we're in the middle of, and to remind ourselves, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. When darkness, trials, circumstances, pandemics veil His lovely face, I rest on His unchanging grace, which we just talked about last week. When all around my soul gives way, He then is my hope and stay. So in what or in who is the world placing their hope? How about us? In what or who are we placing our hope? I have to keep catching myself. It's not in the government. It's not in the virus. It's not in the vaccine of the virus. It has to be in Jesus. It has to be in Jesus. So let's look at some truth from Romans 15. Romans 15. Those of you that are familiar with it probably already know where I'm going. Romans 15. Now we who are strong, if you read enough of Romans and Paul's other writings, you will understand that sometimes he was the one who was weak, sometimes he was the one who was strong. Sometimes Timothy was the one who was weak, sometimes Timothy was the one who was strong. Same with each character, each person that was written about. So if you happen to be strong right now, this is addressing you. We who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves. each of us is to please his neighbor for his neighbor's good, for his neighbor's edification. For even Christ did not please himself. So we're here to encourage each other during difficult times. We're here to lend the strength that Jesus gave us to others. And so, of course, that applies for those out in the world because they don't get strength from Jesus. They don't get hope from Jesus. They don't get joy from Jesus. But we can direct them to the good news of great joy. O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant, come and behold him. You and I can encourage others. We can say, hey, let's refocus. Let's stop looking at the news. Let's stop looking at this situation and refocus on Jesus. Now, this time of year, it's sort of fun and interesting to say, we'll focus on baby Jesus. But baby Jesus isn't my Savior. Baby Jesus came and grew up and became my Savior. So yes, I want to celebrate that God sent him, and I want to celebrate that he was willing to be obedient and come, but we need to get people focused off of baby Jesus in the manger and say, hey, that little baby grew up and he died on the cross for you. In him we can triumph and can find hope and joy. Okay, let's continue. Verse 5. And now may God, who gives perseverance and encouragement. Come on, am I the only one this past year who has needed both of those? There are weeks where I was like, oh God, I just don't know if I want to persevere or can persevere. You have got to give me strength. You have got to give me encouragement. And it comes from him alone. Now may the God who gives. Okay, it doesn't say he'll think about giving it, does it? It says he's the God who gives perseverance and encouragement. May he grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Jesus Christ, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. See, we're to be working together as a team. We're to be encouraging one another, strengthening one another, receiving encouragement from God, and then together going forward. Together in one accord, praising God. Okay, verse 9. And for the Gentiles to glorify God. Okay? Do you know who Gentiles are? That's usins. We are non-Jewish believers. So this is talking about us and to us. So usins are to glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will give praise to you among the Gentiles, and I will sing to your name. Again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let the peoples praise him. Again, Isaiah says, there shall come the root of Jesse, and he shall rise to rule over the Gentiles. In him shall the Gentiles hope. Ah, who's that root of Jesse? We know. It's Jesus. And that is where the Gentiles will find their hope. That is where all of us find our hope. Now. Okay, verse 13, now. Now doesn't mean tomorrow. Now doesn't mean next month. Now means it's available right this second. So now, may the God of hope. Come on. He's called the God of hope. The God of hope give you a little bit of joy. Fill you with all joy. Let that stir around inside a minute. The God of hope fill you with all joy. Now, you know what fill means. Okay, when you pour a cup of coffee, doesn't mean a quarter cup, doesn't mean a half cup, doesn't mean three quarters of a cup. Full is full. God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope. Come on. Filled to the top with joy and abound with hope. And that word abound means exactly what you think it would mean in English and in Greek. It means having an abundance, and my Greek dictionary actually said a super surplus. Come on. Overflow. Overflow. A super surplus. I mean, I like having a surplus when I pay my bills each Saturday morning. I like seeing that it's in the positive. I mean, isn't that a good thing? You subtract them all out and it's like, whew, okay, we're in the positive. But what if my positive was a super surplus? Woo! Okay? We can draw from Him enough hope and joy not only to fill ourselves up, but we have a surplus that we can give out. Now, come on. And it says now. So that means if you're here this morning, you're like, well, let me see. Let's do a joy check. How much joy is there inside? Ooh, 20%, 30%. I mean, some of you may be 70, 80. Woohoo, good for you. Okay, but either way, He wants to top that off and make it be a surplus. Make that cup actually be overflowing. And not to waste what's overflowing, but to give it out to somebody else. That's the kind of God we serve. The God of hope fill you with joy so that you abound in hope. Yay. I love that promise. That sounds pretty good. Jesus came to bring to us what nothing else can and what no one else can do. Hope and joy. Last week we looked at the two sides of grace, remember? His saving grace and His enabling, empowering grace. That's why you and I can have hope and joy. Because of His saving grace and His enabling grace. It's not because of the Christmas holiday. It's not even because of our Christmas traditions. I love Christmas traditions. But it's because Jesus left heaven and came down to give hope to the hopeless and joy to the discouraged. Come on. Did He or didn't He? Okay. Joy to the world. See, we even sing about it. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ. It means, come on, gang, let's sing about this. While fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains repeat the sounding joy. They're all singing about creation and Jesus. How about us? Are we? No more let sins and sorrows, see there we are, grow, nor thorns infest the ground. I love this. See, I'm finding all kinds of theology in these Christmas carols this year because they kept applying to my message. He comes to make His blessings flow far as the curse is found. You know what that means? Yes, because of what Adam and Eve did, the earth was cursed. But because of what Jesus did, His blessings can overpower and go beyond the curse. Yay! Come on! No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. He rules the world. He is. He does. And he is. With truth and grace. And makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love. Thy kingdom come, Lord. Thy will be done. Here in the U.S. Here, your kingdom come, your will be done. First Peter 1, 8 and 9 says, and though you have not seen him, with your physical eyes, okay? We haven't seen him with our physical eyes. You love him. Church, do you love Jesus? I'm going to try that question one more time because I sort of think you guys want a chance to be unanimous with that. So though you have not seen him, you love him. Church? And though you do not see him now with your physical eyes, but believe in him, do you believe in him? Then you greatly, greatly, greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Yay? See, I had to remind myself about this week. I wasn't supposed to be speaking today. We were supposed to have an ordination yesterday, and the overseer of U.S. missions, everything that happens in the U.S. for Elam Fellowship was supposed to speak today. And we weren't able to do that because you're not allowed to have anybody from out of state come into Pennsylvania. So I needed to remind myself that because of what Jesus did, and because I love Jesus, and because I believe in Jesus, I can greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. So our joy comes from Jesus, and our hope is in Jesus. Nothing else, no one else. So yes, it's been a rough year. Amen? And we've had some difficulties and some challenges. But even in the midst of this mess, you and I still have hope in Jesus. You and I can still find joy in Jesus. First Thessalonians 4 tells us not to grieve like those who have no hope. But that does mean that we can grieve. And there are some things we're grieving, which is why we have to go to Jesus and get hope and joy. What are we grieving? What have we lost? There's things we haven't been able to do. Okay? We're not having a Christmas banquet this year. There are other things that you as a family haven't done. Maybe you haven't traveled places you normally travel. Last weekend, I was supposed to take Stacy down to visit our friends in Delaware for the weekend. That didn't happen because we're not allowed to go out of state. And they have a bed and breakfast, and so everybody there would have had to quarantine. Not good. So we can grieve things that we've missed. We can grieve people that we haven't seen. But the scripture says, however, don't grieve like those who do not have hope in Jesus. We can say, yep, I missed doing that. But you know what? In Jesus, I can still find hope and joy. And that's what I wanted to remind you of this morning. Behold, I bring you good news of a great joy. Jesus, our Savior, has been born. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Amen? All right. Well, Merry Christmas, everybody. let's stand and just tell Him how we just said we love Him, and then we were encouraged to adore Him. So let's take a minute and do that, and then we're going to close. Jesus, we are thankful that because You were willing to come, because You were willing to leave heaven and come down and be born a baby. I can't even imagine that. Because You did that for me, because You did that for us, because You did that for the world, we have good news of great joy to share with others. Good news of great joy to share with others. And Jesus, because we believe in You, and because we love You, even though we haven't seen You with our physical eyes, we have felt You, and we know Your truth, and we know that You laid down Your life because of Your great love for us. We can come to You today, and we can say, Jesus, my joy is not where I'd like it. Things I read in the news and on Facebook and hear out in the workplace, they're discouraging. But I can come back to You each day and say, Jesus, I need renewed joy. So this morning we just come and we say, You are the one. It was Your word that says that You want us to abound with hope and to be full of joy. So we come to You, the God of hope, the God of hope, and we receive from You today the hope that we need, that this is going to get better, that things are going to change around, that situations are going to get back to what we want them to be, and that You are going to continue to bring healing and strength through the situation until we get to the other side. So we come to You, God of hope, and say, renew our hope today. Our hope is in You, nothing else and no one else. And because of that, we can be full of joy. And Father, we read and discovered in Your word today that You don't want to just give us enough for ourselves, even though I would be so thankful just for that. But You want to give us enough that we can share with others who have little or no hope and little or no joy. So give us a chance this week to be ones who spread joy and share hope with others. We can say that there is good news of great joy this time of year as we celebrate the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.